Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so much to say to his people who are listening. Some people can't wait for God to teach them. Some people seem to take it lightly that they can be talking to God every day. It's a culture thing. People think that when you look out in the world and see how people do, sometimes I guess people consider that to be normal. But when I found out that the Lord would teach me and train me and talk to me, I was excited. And I desired that. Now, when I first got saved, people didn't talk like God would talk to you. You just get saved and do the best you can, try to stay out of trouble. Well, I wouldn't trade my privilege to hear from God for nothing. Nothing is more important than the voice of God to me. Nothing. And I thank God for it. In fact, if I had to lose everything God ever taught me and keep just one thing, it would be the knowledge that the training that when he taught me to love his people. Because that's when it really picked up, when I learned to love his people like Jesus loves me, basically. I asked him to teach me how to love his people. That's one of the best decisions I ever, out of all the crazy things I did, out of all the things that I did wrong, that's one thing that I'll never regret. I thank God for asking him to teach me how to love his people and live in his strength. And that's what sparked it. I learned to live in his strength, not mine. Also, and I learned to love by faith and in his strength. And all of my emotions, I gained control of my emotions. And I stopped being needy. And it's like a power source was living in me. God was living through me because I loved his people. Covenant. See, when you have covenant, you have authority. And you have access to all the strength you need. Now, I want to, today the Lord gave me another direction to go in, and I thank him for it. Today is Thursday, August the 26th. This month is ending quick, and I like to give the date nowadays. But anyway, I thank God for what he's doing, and a lot of things can be traced back to different events in our lives. And it gets in. That's where culture comes from. But sometimes culture is not good. So my favorite scripture, my all-time favorite scripture, is St. John chapter 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And my relationship with God is so important. This is for everybody, not just for a select few, not just for preachers, not just for apostles. I was seeking the Lord about things before I knew what kind of preacher I was. And he, your personal learning, that you do that as a Christian. You learn all you can. If God call you to an office or a ministry or whatever, he'll fill in those blanks for you. But it's still every Christian's responsibility to have his own relationship. And when you have one, you are better off. God can talk. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what Jesus paid for when he purchased us with his blood. Part of his prayer was that we have the relationship with God like he does. And why don't people want it? I don't know. You have to ask the people that don't want it. But I do. Now, so culture, things that you see other people doing is not always wise. Sometimes it's just downright foolish when you add it all up and then there's nothing to subtract, but it's foolish. I mean, it's just not, it's either, things are either wise or they're not. Okay, now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 10. This is what God gave me. Jeremiah said, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." God is talking to Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, the stars, you know. For the heathen are dismayed at them. You know, the heathen are so dismayed at those stars. Where did that come from? Now, God created it. Why not be more dismayed at God than the stupid, than they're not stupid stars, but the way that they're looking at them is stupid. Why would you be dismayed at the stars and not consider God who made the stars? All right. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. And they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must need to be born, or they need to be carried around, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. I'm going to read that verse 6 again. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Let me back up to verse 5. They're building these idols, statues, and they worship to worship them. And then they want to call it their God. Look at, take a mental picture of what's going on. They get this tree. They're dismayed at the stars of heaven. And they cut out a tree out of the forest. And they work it up to make it look like an image that they would worship. Deck it with gold, silver and gold. Fasten it with nails, hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They need to be born, which means carried around. They need to be carried. They can't go. They have no muscles. They have no sense. They have no brain. And then it says, be not afraid of them, because they always make them look fierce. Now, we have biblical fact evidence that there were giants in the land. We know also that giants are the descendants of angels and earth women. And they caused a lot of problems, and they demanded worship. So when they were driven out, the people were used to catering to these giants. And we know also that false religion sprung out of Babylon under Nimrod. And we know that there were giants after the flood too. So we have all this evidence. Joshua, Caleb, and the other 10 spies, the other 8 spies, they saw people they saw giants, and they felt like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, if it's of the devil wants to move God out of the way and be worshipped himself. So he'll use puppets to do so, to, you know, he started a culture leaven, so to speak. And so the children see their parents worship these crazy demonic people, giants. And, you know, a demon is a disembodied spirit of a giant. You know, when they die, they just roam the earth as demons. So, nevertheless, they have this influence that caused them to do this. But it's not making sense. That tree that you shaped into something didn't make you. It's just a tree. No matter what you make it look like and how you dress it up, it's still just wood. But people in their soul believe that it has magical properties or something, and they act like it. And they try, and instead of seeking the Lord who made them in the first place and learning about him and living a life of covenant, they do this. So, how would something like that continue on over the years? People teach it to their children. They teach fear to their children. And fear attaches your life to Satan. Always. Whatever you fear, you're surrendered to it. Whatever you happen to fear, you put yourself subject to it. Fear God. Just fear God. Don't fear anything of the world. Don't fear people. Don't fear destruction. Don't fear Satan. Don't fear his puppets. Don't fear demons, fallen angels, evil men, nothing. When you have a covenant with God, you have authority to shut all that stuff down. And you'll learn to walk in it. And you may, I know, I understand that it may be a challenge at first, but I promise you this. What was a challenge to me became a cakewalk. If you win the war within, the war without is a cakewalk. It's an easy thing to do. You know, when I was in the first, second grade, I guess third grade, they used to have a cakewalk. They would have, you know, chairs, enough chairs for all the students in a circle. And you walk around those chairs. When the music stops, you sit down, and the chair had a number in it. And then they picked the number, and that's who won the cake. It was easy. That a first grader could do it. And then they sliced the cake, and everybody ate some. So listen to me. Winning a battle against Satan is as easy as that cakewalk. Now, I know some people may not have cakewalks in their country. That's just something that we did here in America. Something fun to do that the teachers did. But anyway, taking authority over Satan is as easy as such a thing. Or it's even easier than striking a piñata and everybody gets some candy. You put the blindfold on and you strike the piñata, and then whoever breaks it open, that's who they broke open, and everybody get the candy. That's easy. That's how easy it is to keep Satan under your foot. Now, because Jesus gave you authority over him. If you have living in a covenant life with God, you're in agreement with God, he's your Lord, then fear will fall off your life. The love of God will pick it. You're going to learn things from his love. If you decide to learn about his love, that's when the Lord really related to me more knowledge. He taught me a lot of things before I did this. He helped me in a lot of ways, but that opened the door for him to really teach me. And then when I started reading the Word, 15 chapters a day, he gave me a regimen, 3 and 5 in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, 5 at night. And I obeyed him. I did it my way, but I did it, and the Lord honored me for it. He taught me the Word of God gives you covenant vision. Okay, the reason I call it covenant vision is because everything that God did to redeem us is based on the covenant he made with Abraham. And everything that God says is in agreement with what he said to Father Abraham and also Adam. His word is him. When we receive his word in our heart, then that's how we live. You do whatever you do from the heart. A lot of times people try to make resolutions and form new habits, good habits. But that won't work unless you put those motivations in your heart. If you put it in your heart to do something, you will do it. So if you put God's word in your heart, you will do it. It will be a part of you. This is the defining difference between the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. Now let me explain what the virgins are. They are people who are in covenant with God through Christ. But 5 of them were wise. They filled their heart with the word. 5 didn't do that. And the culture problems that surrounded them got in their heart. And it troubled them. And they became treacherous. They didn't worship false gods, but they had the influence of false gods. They had the influences of society. They had the fears of society. They had the logic of the society and the appetite of society. But they didn't drive it out because their heart was not full of the word. They had a brand new heart, but they didn't do anything with it. But those that were wise, they filled their heart with the word of God. They lived a covenant life, while the others lived an unacceptable life. And the Lord told me, when he raptured the church, not one mistake would be made. He said, those that are lukewarm will be left. In fact, he said, those that are lukewarm, you can't get them saved. They knew God, but they didn't serve him, and they got infiltrated with sin. And I said, what is it with lukewarm people, Lord? He said, they won't budge. They won't come back. They're like Eli's sons. They're like King Saul. They're like the survivors in Jeremiah chapter 42. They wanted Jeremiah to pray which way they should go. They vowed that they would obey him. But in 10 days, when Jeremiah gave them the answer of God, they rebelled. But Jeremiah said, your hearts, you dissimulated in your heart when you asked me to pray for you. Think about, see, if God will spit somebody out, there's something very rotten about them. And God doesn't do that. He don't spit his children out. He spit the devil out. He cast Satan out. Jesus said, I saw Satan thrust down as lightning. He do that to satanic people, not his people. Not people that knew better and did worse. Not to mention sinners. Sinners don't know. They think they're like the people that's described in the first part of this chapter, making a god out of wood. They need help. They have no life in them. They have no comparison against what they're doing, because they're estranged from God. And some of them are very kind people. They're just in a loop of destruction, and they can't get out on their own. They need the light. They need people who love God to represent God to them so that God can help them. And for this reason, we need to be all we can be in Christ. We need to let our light shine, because we were once locked out of the kingdom of God in the world doing crazy stuff, until somebody pray for us and live the life of God before us. And then we had a comparison. We had something to, hey, that's better. Then when we heard about the love of Jesus to those that it meant something to, the Holy Spirit could work with us, and we repent. Well, Eli's sons, they wouldn't repent. When they were warned, they did worse. And then they wouldn't repent because God was going to kill them. See, it takes the Lord to have repentance. See, God he subdued everything. If a person let their heart get too hard, they won't have a mind to go forward in the Lord. It won't be in their heart. The world will infiltrate their heart and consume them. Dangerous to not have the word of God in your heart. And people I know that don't put the word in their heart, they believe the craziest things, even though they once knew better. But Christians who put the word in their heart, they're different. It goes right back to the parable of the sower. Those are four ways people handle the word. The wayside heart, stony ground heart, then the soil that was had weeds in it, thorns. It choked the word, became unfruitful. Then you had the good and honest heart, bring forth fruit with patience. And that's how the five wise virgins are. They bring forth fruit with patience. The lukewarm church, the cares of this world, the lust of other things entering in, they're steadily being leavened until they have no desire for God again. They're worse than the world. They once knew better, but the word was choked, and they didn't do anything. They didn't bear the fruit of God. They didn't live a covenant life. They didn't receive covenant vision and covenant life. They live by worldly standards. Now let's continue on. All right. Verse 6. For there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doeth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdom there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. You know, the doctrine of the stock, that's the idol that they made out of the tree. It's a doctrine of vanities. It's demonic. It's something to pull you down, to draw you away from God, to be leavened by Satan. It's witchcraft, basically. Verse 8 again. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz. The work of the workmen and the hands of the founder, blue and purple is in their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. People go through so much trouble to do something so devastating to their soul. Now, you know, Islam, a lady that was, she was born there, she became a Christian, and the Muslims killed her uncle, her Christian uncle. And the Lord taught her not to hate the Muslims. And in doing so, Jesus said, Islam is demonic, but the Muslims are victims. It's the same thing for all other religions that had nothing to do with the love of God. Let me put it better than that. It's the same thing for every religion beside the way of life through Jesus Christ. See, but having faith in Jesus Christ is more than a religion, it's life. Everything else, if Jesus said, if you try to go to the Father and don't go through me, they're the same as a thief and a robber. So a demonic religion causes anybody who partake of it to be a victim. Ultimately, they will die and go to hell. But the Lord is appearing to people who are Muslims. I thank God for every one of them. I love Muslims. I love people. Don't get it mixed up. Islam is demonic. It's not of God. And I can prove in many ways. But the people I love, the people who are doing these, building these stocks to worship them, I love them too. We come out of the same rabbit hole. So how can I hate people that's just wrong? I want them to know God. The light, we don't, in our covenant life, we bear fruit. And then the fruit of our preaching, they hear the word. Some will come to life, some will reject it. The fruit of our living a covenant life, living the life of a covenant vision. See, when you read the chapters, you have a God's eye view of life. You have covenant vision. And you see what God sees. You see a better way of doing things. These things that I'm reading about seem foolish to us. We understand because we have a comparison. We have Jesus Christ. But somebody who's still in it, they don't see it that way. But when they see you live the life of God before their eyes, then they'll have the comparison they need to come out of the darkness and see what Jesus did in us is not to be belittled. When you live like God in the world, you give people a comparison so that they can come to the light. I paint cars, and I got a fan in the left corner of my garage, and I have a light near the fan. Now, when I get a moth in here, I don't need a bug landing on my wet car. That's, you know, wet paint. So I turn all the lights off, leave that fan on with the light, and all the bugs that go to the light get sucked out. I give it about 5 or 10 minutes, then I turn my lights on if I'm painting at night, and I finish without getting bugs in the paint. So when people have a comparison, they see either they're going to come to God or they're going to run from it. Okay, continuing. They go through all this trouble to overlay that wooden statue they made with gold and silver, and cunning men do all this stuff. When people are in sin, they mean it. They put forth a lot of money and effort into doing this. Where do people put that kind of energy into serving God, learning His ways, learning His will? Okay, let's continue. Verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. He's a lie. He's the one that the heathens will run from. Read that again. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. He will always be God. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide His anger, His indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. That's demise. You don't want that. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. Everything that He made is wisdom. But worshiping them is forbidden. That's wrong. That's stupid. Appreciating what God made, understanding God made it, is wonderful. I love to look at the stars myself. I love a starry night. I love movies with space. I like to learn about God's word, about His creation. I mean, I love it. I asked the Lord about people on other planets and what He did out there. He said, it honors me that you asked me about my creation. And then He started telling me things. Nevertheless, verse 13, when He utters His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh the lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For His molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Now, a lot of times people have the residue doubt, unbelief, and rebellion, that you could trace it back to what their ancestors did. If there's no light, then people don't change. And they don't know why they're serving these idols. They're doing it out of fear that their foreparents taught. Okay, verse 16, for the portion of Jacob is not like them. Now he's saying this is an exclusive group. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of His inheritance. The Lord of hosts is His name. There are people within the Jewish people that love God, and they won't do this, though they are those who went with the world. But the portion of Jacob, they're like the wise virgins. They love God for real. They're sincere. Verse 17, gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I say it truly, this is grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, all my cords are broken, my children are gone from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and set up my curtains. For the pastors have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Now this is true for our day. There are many pastors that just went the other way. And people, just like with Ahaz, the people are, you know, the trees are moved with the wind. The people, the influences of the dead pastors, it causes people to scatter. The flocks are scattered. A dead pastor have turned his back on God, and they basically do things in a worldly way and manner. And it says that they won't prosper. That don't mean just financially. That means in life as well, and their flock shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. The nation that once loved and served God is now scattered abroad because of their idolatrous ways. They let the leaven of the Gentiles around them lead them. And they became leaven, and God had to drive them out with the king of Assyria and also with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. What a waste. This is replaying itself again. Modern day newfangled gospel, it doesn't want people that sin will kill you. They want crowds and money and fame and an easy life. And the people, they're satisfied not to know God. They don't study the word, and they read into the word their own imaginations. But see, when you study in scriptures and chapters, you know, I was going to church for years. This is what happened. There were things I was learning in the prayer room and not hearing over the pulpit, and that's bad. Now, when you go in God's presence and the preacher's preaching what God told you in private, that's good. And it's more like that now at the church I go to now. So let me finish. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. We're at the end now. But God is with us, and he's